Rishus Saraf, the under the sugya that discusses the chiyuv of Simchas Yom Tov, it's a machlokes, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, because we have a seemingly a stirim psukim. There's Atzeres Hashem Elokecha and Atzeres Tiyeh Lachem. One is by Shmini Shul Pesach, one is by Shmini Atzeres. So Rabbi Elazar says, because there's contradictory psukim, Simchas Yom Tov is a rishus. And Rabbi Yeshua, which is the way we paskin, it says that, chalkeu, split it, 50-50, chetzel Hashem, chetzel Hashem. Right? So the Gemara gives a series of cases, events throughout the year where even Rabbi Elazar would admit to, excuse me? Okay, Rabbi Elazar would admit to Rabbi Yeshua that Be'inan Lachem, you have to have Lachem, you must indulge. It's not just Rishus, but you should do like Rabbi Yeshua says and indulge. presumably, chetzi, like Rabbi Yeshua says. So, of course, one of these days is, Purim, for example, because it says, Yemei Mishteh V'Simcha, says in the Megillah. All right, Shabbos, cross the Shabbos Oneg. So, amongst the days where Simchas Yom Tov is obligatory, right, is Atzeres, right, is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Everyone admits that you need lachem. You have to do some lachem, do some indulgence, because on Atzeres with Shavuos, it's Yom Shenitna B'Torah, right? It's the day the Torah was given. What does that mean? You would think it's should be just the opposite. All right, that if it's the day the Torah was given, you should be kulo lashem, just sit in the base medrash. At the time when there isn't davening, just be learning away. Yom shenitna b'Torah. So it's just the opposite. You have to have lachem. That's something which needs an explanation, especially since, in the upcoming perek of Pirkei Avos that we're going to read, this upcoming Shabbos, Perek Kinyan Torah, we talk about the Memches Dvarim, Shatara's Niknes Behem, right? And amongst the things that, you have to take to be serious about acquiring Torah is Miut Ma'achov Mishteh. You have to, limit your intake of, taking in food, right? Miutanuk, right? A person has to mitigate his physical indulgence if he wants to be Kona Torah. So, say, if this is Yom Shin Batera, so it should be the other way around, right? Eat less and indulge less and learn more, because that's necessary for Kinyan Torah. And this is the day of Yom Shin Batera. And the Gemara says just the opposite of what we would have thought. So then, towards the end of Sugya, Rav Yosef, Biyomad Atzarta, Ama Avli Igla Tilta, Yosef said on the day of Shavuos, I want Igla Tilta, it's the best meat. Amar I lo hai yema de kogarm, if not for this day that made it happen. Kama Yosef Ika Beshukar, so many people in the marketplace called Yosef. What's he saying? All right, if not for this day, you want to eat the best meat on Shavuos, if not for what this day caused. You have a kegorim, it's an interesting lashon, what this day caused, right? Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, there's plenty of people in a marketplace called Yosef. What's he saying? It's like, because, Torah was given, so I became a rabbi, and it's just a great profession. No, we know that's not the case, right? No, he was a great rabbi, it's just not a great profession. right. Right, I mean, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, right? So many Yosefs in the marketplace, as if now he's making a better parnasa as a Rav, as a Roshiva. He was Roshiva. What does it mean? Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, right? Yala Ladas, that a person would want to learn Torah, for the sake of, having covet or a parnasa. So Rashi says, that Ilavu Yoma Shalmatar Vinisromamti, I was elevated. I will discuss that in a second. There are many people in the Shuk that are called Yosef. What's the difference between me and them? Right. So let's break this down a little bit. Right, before we get back to the din of lachem, right, the din of indulgence, which interestingly enough is called lachem, yours. Right, that's something to take note of. This din of indulgence is called lochem. Like, as
yours.
You go to the shuk. He said, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. What happens in the market? Right. The market is a countermeasure for the big, for lack of a better word, the tragedy of life. You know, the as the Alter Mevarek used to say, you know, how unfortunate life is. Right? What you have, you don't want. Right? And you want what you don't have. Right? Why do you go to the marketplace? You go to barter. Right, to exchange, because sadly, whatever you have, you don't want. So whatever profession you're in, you make shoes. You don't want those shoes, right? You know, what you want, you don't have. But, you know, what you have, you know, you're going to go and you go to the shuk and exchange, right, and hoping to get what you want. It's a very sad situation that, you know, that's, it's just, there's no escape from that. It's the reality ever since Chet Adam Arishon, and is part of the, you know, B'zeh Asapecha Tochal Lechem. Part of it, you know, what came from that is the great toil of, you know, need for parnasa. Part of that toil is that you rarely have, you know, you rarely are engaged, if ever, in actually producing what you need. You're producing something that you don't need, and you're going to exchange it, you know, in the marketplace for what you do need. But let's look a little bit deeper on the idea of a market. You know, what determines market value? Scarcity. Right? We hear stories about people burning surplus supplies because otherwise prices will drop. Right? Now, you know, it's not a very fact that, you know, that could happen, that, you know, you have to make it scarce, make people want it. You know what that means in other words? That means very few things, if any, you know, have real intrinsic value. It's like the scarcity drives the prices up, right? And if there's an abundance, right, prices drop down. Now, what theoretically should be, if things had innate value, it's value, right? Instead of, you know, value is really something that's manipulated. And the market manipulates these things by, you know, trying to create a need. Now, with tragedy of advertising, right, they could convince us that we need things that we don't really need. But that's what, you know, but that's where the value comes from, is there's like a perceived need, and if there's ever an abundance of it, it becomes valueless, right? But the very fact that talking about that something being, you know, more available or less available controls its value means that nothing has innate value. It's all about, as I say, supply and demand, right? That to the extent that people think it's scarce and needed, it drives the prices up. Right? And to the extent people, you know, it's off people's radar, prices fall. The thing should be worth what it's worth. That means there's no real innate value. So the market represents it, you know, that a person doesn't really want what he has. He's seeking to exchange what he has for something else. It also, market also represents, right, that nothing has real innate value. It's all about supply and demand, meaning, you know, perception of scarcity. Right? And all in Yonei Olam Hazeh are that way. Right? The tremendous gift of the Torah, right? Is Torah valuable because there is demand for it? No, Torah is valuable be'etzem. Right? It is be'etzem choshuv. It's the word of God. It's the will of God. Right? It's not subject to the whole concept of the market. Right? It has an innate value, right? That has nothing to do with if it's in demand or not in demand. Right? It's the word of God. It's the most important thing. Right? And that's really, if you read the Rambam carefully, right? That, you know, the horrible thing about learning Torah shelo lishma, right? You know, for the sake of, you know, making money from it, for the sake of honor. Right? You're devaluing the Torah. The Torah has innate value that's more valuable than anything else. More valuable than anything else. And if you don't make Torah, kardom lach porba, to make it a means to an end, it's called a chilul Torah, because the Torah is, you know, of prime importance by virtue of itself. Right? And that's one thing about the Torah, that's, you know, the hefech of the shuk. Right, it's the opposite of the concept of a market. Right? In fact, it has innate value, as opposed to what's exchanged in the marketplace. It has perceived value to the extent that people think they need it. That's its value. Right? Doesn't we're not dealing with innate value, trying to create, you know, demand, create a hysteria for it. Right? As well as Torah is choshev be'etzem. In that way, Torah is the hepech of the shuk. But then there's another thing about it makes Torah the hepech of the shuk. Right? And what do you really have? What do you really have? So he said, the tragedy of life is even the things that you think you have, right? You don't really want. You're trying to go to the marketplace to exchange them for something else. But those things that you have, that you want to exchange for something else, to what extent do you really have them? Whatever. Name anything, right? A house, right? Money. Right? It could come any type of natural calamity, Rahmat Slan, it's gone. Kalohaya. Like, disappear without a trace, right? You know, what do you have, like, really have, right, that you could take with you, right, wherever you are? And this is really the omic of what Chazal say in that, you know, in an anecdote about a bunch of people that were shipwrecked. A bunch of people were, you know, on a boat, and everyone had their wares, and one guy, was, you know, not traveling with anything. Asked, where are your wares? Right in here. My Torah. Right? And then they got shipwrecked, right, and all their wares got lost, but this person still had his Torah, right? You know, and that's what, you know, the point of Chazal trying to get to, the Chazal darshan that pasuk, it's there with you in Olam Hazeh, it's there with you in the grave, and it's there with you in Olam Haba. Your Divrei Torah are with you forever and ever and ever. Right? It's really yours. There's nothing in Olam Hazeh that's like it. Right? Another way that the Torah is different from the Shuk. Now, but it goes deeper than that. Right? You know, we say, Baruch Hashem, here we are. You know, Kilas or Torah. Right? Or Torah or HaTorah. Right. Mokum Torah. You know, Kishmo Kenu. So I want to ask you a question. If me and someone else, we sit somewhere and we talk physics, right? We talk physics, you know, really deep, you know, deep, right? Is it now a mukum physics where we're discussing physics, right? You know, the main things, you know, there's such a thing called, you know, Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, which is Chomer from Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. But is the Mishnah Novus, so he said, you know, five people will learn, three people will learn, right? Even the Shechina is there, wherever you're learning. It's an amazing thing that Divrei Torah, it's as if they take up space. And that's what Chazal mean, you know, elsewhere. They talk about Shechina, you know, the Shechina is with him, wherever you're learning. Right? It's an amazing thing that Divrei Torah is not information. Right? Divrei Torah, as it were, has, you know, mahus, has essence to it. And therefore, when you're learning Torah, there's a real, real manifest Kedusha. And if you do it in a Mokum Kavua, you know, even if you do it by right, the Shechina's there. And if you do it in a Mokum Fua, so it becomes a Mokum Torah, like we say, a Mokum Torah, and comes Kedusha Space HaMedrash. It's an amazing thing, right? That Divrei Torah is not, you know, you think it's not like the secular sciences. The secular sciences is, you know, a description of the natural laws, right? But, you know, the natural laws aren't captured in those words. Those words are painting a picture about the natural laws. Those natural laws are not in any particular place. So if you're discussing gravity, gravity is not in any particular place. It's not going to be more in a place where you talk about it than in a place where you don't talk about it. Divrei Torah is not that way. Miyom shenechrava beis mikdashenu en lakoshu ba'olamo. It mamish comes, a place, person where a person's learning that Dalet Amos, which is Makomo Shel Adam. That's a person who takes up Dalet Amos. That's his place, you know. That's as much as he could walk in Rosh Hasharabim. That's his place, you know. And if he's in a Simta, he's Kona within his Dalet Amos. It's Makomo Shel Adam, Dalet Amos. You know, Dalet Amos Shel Alocha. It's, you know, Torah takes up place. It's Kedusha manifest. Right? Now, why is that? That's what Matan Torah produced. All right, let's ask a question, right? What do we gain from Matan Torah, right? The Ovos were Mekayim the whole Torah before was given. Right? Noach also learned Torah, so when HaKadosh told him, right, he knew exactly what the Baruch Hu was talking about. The information of Torah was already revealed to the tzaddikim that walked the earth even before Matan Torah. Amazing. So what do we gain from Matan Torah? If Avraham Avinu could keep everything, even Eruv Tavshilin, right? He had a way of getting to it without Matan Torah. Who needs Matan Torah? Because the pshat is like this, right? That Matan Torah is literally that, giving over the Torah itself, right? The Avos, right? They knew about Torah. They knew about Torah. They had information regarding Torah. Lahavdil, like we know about physics, and we have information regarding physics. We'll talk about physics, right? You know, we have information regarding, they were privy to what's written in Shemaim. Esh chayra gabe esh levana. They knew information. But the Torah was, the essence of Torah was still in its place in heaven, right? And they had information regarding the Torah, right? Matan Torah was literally that. Roshem, did something that only Reb Roshem could do. And that's why we put all the emphasis on Matan Torah, not Chag Kabbal Star, because the big nes is what only God himself can do, right? That he took Torah, that in the totem pole of reality is in the highest place, and Imamish made it manifest down here. That's why, as the Medrash says in Parshas Truma, right, that right after Matan Torah, Kosho was mitzaveh on Meleches HaMishkan, right? Because he says, you know, the Medrash gives a mashal, right? A king had an only daughter. Yeah, gave her away to a prince who lives in a faraway land. He says, listen, I can't live without my daughter, but I can't tell you not to take her. Wherever you go, I say, keton cotton, make me a little room. I could stay with you wherever you are. So also HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Am Yisrael, right, I gave you my Torah. I can't live without my Torah. So I go with my Torah. So therefore, you have to make me keton cotton. You have to make me vasli mikdash v'shachanti b'seichem. As amazing, the miracle of Matan Torah is that Torah itself, mamish, came down, right? Literally, right? And that's why, you know, wherever we learn Torah, it's manifest. It makes a makom Torah, right? But since it really, really came down, that's why the Torah is really, really yours. If you have information, right, and you forget it, do you have anything left regarding that information? No, you forgot it, right? How about your Torah? Now you learned Torah, you forgot it. Hizor bezaken sheshachach Talmudo sheluchos v'shivrei luchos munachim ba'aron. Right? Now halacha is that bezaken sheshachach Talmudo, you have to give him covered, because even shivrei luchos, right, that once held, you know, divrei Torah, right, are munachim ba'aron. Why? You forgot it. Right? If a doctor forgot medicine, oh my God, don't go there. Right? I don't care how good your insurance is. Don't, yeah, no, right? You don't go to a doctor who forgot his medicine, right? Don't go to a lawyer who forgot his law. Right? Right? Ois doctor, ois lawyer. He forgot his trade. Right? But a Talmud Chacham is not that way. It's his forever. Because when a person learns Torah, right, that Torah is by him, manifest. Just like it becomes a makom Torah, kal v'chomer achas kam v'kama, the Torah, divrei Torah, becomes manifest in him. Right? Now, just because his biochemical mind can't hold on to the information of Torah doesn't change the fact that divrei Torah was chal on him. And he was niskadesh with the kedusha of a Talmud Chacham that you have to give cover to. So even if Rachmanot Zlan, he has Alzheimer's, whatever, and the biochemical mind can't access, but the Kedusha HaTorah is not bottled, because the Torah really came down. And that's all a product of Matan Torah. Right? Matan Torah made that. Right? This wasn't the case when the Torah was still in heaven, and the Tzadikei Kedem were privy to what the Torah in heaven says. That's the Chiddush of Matan Torah. Literally, what only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do, he put Torah on earth. And it made it that way. Then whenever we learn Divrei Torah, we really have it. Not information regarding the Torah. We got the Torah itself. And we really have it. And it's by us. It's by us, and it's even within the makom of where we learn it, if we learn it in a makom kavua. And that's what Rav Yosef means, right? Going back to the din of lochem, right? That's why Yom Shenitna Bat Torah, right? You know what makes Torah really ours, right? It's lochem, right? Ours, right? And it's a part of us like the food that we eat, Lachem throughout Gan Shas means yours, like Lakatam Lachem, right? You have to own your lulav, right? So this din of Lachem, Simchas Yom Tov, is that it's the simcha of partaking that it's ours. Yom Shenitna B'Teira, Kula Amamodu B'Din Lachem, right? Everyone admits that you have to have lochem. You're supposed to celebrate that the Torah is yours. It's Yom Shenitna Torah. Because before Matan Torah, Torah belonged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the tzaddikim that walked the earth, the Ruach HaKadosh, were privy to what Divrei Torah in Shemaim say. Right? But Yom Shenitna Torah, now it's lochem. Right? That is the big chiddush of Matan Torah. And the simcha of indulging, and you take food in, like food becomes a part of you. And it's interesting that Olam HaBa is called the Suda. Ram brings this, you know, in Hilchos Tshuva, right? What Chazal say, it's called Hakol Mesukan LaSuda, right? You know, Suda, you know, so Ram explains in Mor Nebuchim, you know, Suda you take in, becomes a part of you. He says, really, you know, Torah that we learn, right? It's supposed to become a part of you, not any less than food. And that's why you find, you know, throughout, you know, Tanakh, you know, that the Torah is Nimshal, to food. Lechu Lachmu Belachmi, Ushtu B'yein Mesechti. Right? You know, Torah is not just something that you learn, something that becomes a part of you. But Matan Torah made it that way. Right? Far Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, you know, Torah was in Shemaim, you got information regarding Torah. But now we got the Torah itself. And that's the simcha of Lochem. Yom Shenitna B'Torah, because we brought, did the miracle of actually giving the Torah, making it come from the highest place of heaven down to us. That's why Lochem, and that's what makes it could be yours. Right? And that's what makes it, it gets you out of the shuk. It gets you out of the shuk. Torah is like, you know, that's what Rabbi Yehuda said, you know, when I talk, v'nisro mamte, I was elevated, right? All in Yonei Olam Hazeh is just one big shuk. It's all one big marketplace. Because even when we say the sciences are valuable, you know why? It's only because there's a demand for it. There'll come a time if people won't be interested in physics, right? No one will study physics, right? Right now, there happens to be a certain demand for it. On the workforce, there's a certain prestige. And if ever people just will be of the perception, there's no demand for it. Right? It will be valueless. Right? Everything is just, is there a market for it? Is there a market for it? There's no anything that's valuable be'etzem. And there's nothing that's really, really yours in Olam Hazeh. Right? That's the matzav of the shuk. Right? It says, Torah gets us out of shuk. Hayom kagorim, that they caused it, got me out of the shuk. That, you know, Torah is something that's really yours and innately valuable. The opposite of a shuk. Right? But it goes deeper than that. We said that this day, you know, made this, you know, mitzias, that when we learn Torah, it's manifest. The makom becomes a makom Torah. You become holy. Right? And even if you forget your learning, what was Rav Yosef? We find it throughout Shas. He was a zaken sheshachach tamudo. Later in life, we find life as, you know, you know, Abaye reminds him, Amrislan, you told us. Amrislan, Mishmeid Rabbi Yehuda, you told us. Right? Rav Yosef always said this. Ilav hayu yom de kogorim. Even all his life, he always said this. Even when he forgot his learning. And just, if anything, maybe that's what he more appreciated. Ilav hayu yom de kogorim. Kama Yosef ika b'shuka. Right? Even in his old age, when he forgot some of his learning. And there might be other people now in the marketplace that could, you know, match him in their proficiency of learning because of what he forgot. You know, so now he's on a level. But no, it's not the same. I learned and they didn't. That means that Torah that I learned is always by me. It's lachem, it's yours, it's mine. It's always mine. I'll never, it, and that's hayu yom kagarim. Matan Torah made this, that Divrei Torah, with their full infinite power, is manifest by the person and becomes his. It's what's really, really yours. Kihem chayenu, baruch hu. It's mamash kihem chayenu. It's as much a part of us as our lives itself, right? That's what Shavuos is. On Shavuos, we just, you know, we renewed Matan Torah. Right? The Torah was really given. Torah is what's really ours forever and ever, and nothing could ever separate it from us.